Welcome to Floating Lifty Podcast. My name is Xiu Wen.
And my name is Noah, your co-host.
Hi.
Hi, host.
Okay. The beginning is always a little bit awkward.
Huh. And the beginning is very nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I didn't say it's not nice.
Oh.
I just say it's awkward.
Nicely awkward.
Nicely awkward, exactly. Today, in this episode, we are attempting to drink two teas. The same teas. And remember in one of the podcasts, maybe two podcasts ago, which will be, well, it depends, right?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
I think.
Sure, but it depends on where we load this one.
Mm.
Anyway, so in one of the past few episodes, we talk about heavily roasted Alisan Oolong from our teacher, Mr. Zhan. And we talk about how some people, you know, will wait on the tea without trying it. And today we are going to try this tea again. And one batch is exactly the same tea. Half of it is stored in its original bag. And then half of it is stored in a canister. Would you call that clay canister or pot? I don't know.
It's glazed stoneware.
Glazed stoneware canister for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And today we are going to compare the differences in these two teas and to see if we want to make any change to the storage. So we'll start with the one that is from the stoneware tea canister for the past 1 year, and I'm attempting to do 3 infusions on each tea and pretty heavy brew on purpose. Kind of just want to bring everything out and see if we can compare which one we like a little bit better, and then maybe shift one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal of today. So the first infusion is very strong already. We haven't tested it, but it looks really, really strong.
It's been brewing for at least 2 minutes, I think.
In a tiny, small clay teapot. But a lot of fruit. Smell got pulled out from the brew. Ooh, it is strong, but actually very drinkable.
The feeling of the scent is already really energetic. I mean, just lively. There's a lot of feeling in that scent as I breathe it in.
Yeah, and also, why do I? On the top of that, I wanted to push the tea. Today.
It's strong.
I wanted to push the tea today, kind of to get everything out. That was the intention. And the second intention why I wanted to brew tea this strong today is I'm actually a little bit very tired. And on the top of that, I just ate a huge bowl of fried rice.
So, TMI.
I want a strong cup of tea today to fight the fried rice in my belly and wake myself up. But it's drinkable, right?
Totally drinkable.
It's really
solid. Yeah. It punches right through the fried rice. Fried rice and pickled vegetable. You ate more fried rice than I did. But I had a bite of a muffin. Gluten-free muffin, though, so don't get too excited.
Well, you don't need to mention I am more than you. Second infusion also brew quite long.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? The second cup, I don't feel like I push it enough.
It doesn't have that meatiness that the first cup had.
That's right. But the viscosity shows up a little bit.
So I actually have tried the both versions.
Oh, side by side?
No, not side by side. But I've tried this jar stored version, I think, 3 times now.
Mm.
This is going to be the 3rd time. And so far what I've noticed, and it kind of shows up a little bit more in this cup, is it doesn't have the same, what would be the word, stamina. It doesn't have the same amount of stamina as the other tea. So whether that's, it starts to get a little bit, not thin is not the right word, because it is actually very kind of juicy feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. But something is missing.
Yeah, exactly.
Something is missing. And then after we try the one that's kept in the bag, we'll be able to find the better words.
Yeah.
To describe how you are feeling,
mm-hmm,
about when this tea is stored in a canister. But tea is very interesting in a way. We have to take a lot of chances to see, in a way, to make the right decisions for the tea based on our experiences and intuition. It doesn't mean that our intuition is always right. But I think this is a learning journey. If we don't try it, then I guess we'll never know. And so I would say what is best might be, I mean, today, since we don't have a lot of quantity on this tea, so we don't have the luxury of the, oh yeah, sure, put this tea, why not? Just put this tea in this canister for a while, and then put other part of this tea in the original bag, and then put one more part of this tea in a different canister. I'll say there might be a better experimentation, but unfortunately, we only have very limited quantity of this tea. We don't have the kind of luxury to play with it that way, and so we do need to take a risk.
Mm.
Yeah. To move this tea one way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't have to. I mean, we can still, I guess we can still store it in this canister.
Yeah. I want to figure out what we can do with this tea, because it's a really special, yeah, it's really special tea, and especially because we don't have very much of it. I want to kind of maximize what we can get out of, mm-hmm, it.
True. And even if we decided, after the tasting today, we decided to remove the tea from the canister. There's by no means that I am trying to tell people out there, say, well, then don't store your tea in a canister. That's actually not what I am attempting to do today. Because I did try some aged teas. I remember very clearly in Farmer Chen's place, our Baozhong Farmer Chen's place, he store a smaller quantity of an 18-year-old Buddha hen in a stoneware canister, and then there's another large bag tied on the side, and it's exactly the same tea because I tasted both, and I ended up liking the one in the canister, so I only bought the one from the canister, which was a mistake, by the way, just buy it all. Because the next few months when I went back, of course, the bag was sold to somebody else. Yeah, it was a huge mistake from my part. But anyway, so I actually liked that specific tea in the canister. So today, you know, I'm not going to judge whatever the decision is, I'm not going to judge, is it a right decision? As I said, we are doing our best. And it might be still a wrong decision, for all I know. Because we only, do you know what? We only store there for a year, rather than 18. And so maybe 1 year, 2, 3, 4, 5 might be the time that you feel, we will feel that the tea is, like, why are you smiling?
I'm just thinking about that would be probably the more scientific way to go, but I don't want to take that chance with this tea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. First of all, I'm not sure if I can wait for 18 years. When I say limited quantity, we have about like maybe one. Do we even have 1 kilo of this tea?
Probably just about there.
Yeah, just about 1 kilo. That's how little amount we have with this tea. And so while I'm talking for this whole time, I was brewing the third infusion, and I just want to push for the third infusion. Because I feel like the second one, even though with long time of brewing, the full body didn't really show up 100%. And so I just push for it.
Yeah, sounds good. If we can ever buy 20 kilos of this tea,
yeah,
then we can put some in a jar for 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, just let it, just wait it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think eventually in the correct canister will be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But since we don't wait that long, so maybe we'll do the other way.
Mm-hmm. Play it a little bit safe.
Yeah. Because I think I have a date with some people out on Instagram community that I will taste this tea with them after how many years?
I think it was... So I just came up with a number because I thought 2 years would be the right amount of time for this tea to settle. Yeah, because we've had similarly heavy roasted teas from the same roaster. And it wasn't really, really, really showing up until about 2 years.
Mm.
Sheng Miao, the 2016 Sheng Miao.
Well, I think, yeah.
We drank that tea in 2018, and that's when it was like, oh,
really
whoa.
Good. But anyway, some people, I think, like HR Holiday, I think he actually marked the date, so it's okay. I'll have somebody to remind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep my word, so I will try not to drink it all up.
I might have to hide it again.
I'll try not to drink it all up within this next year. I promise. I think it will be pretty safe because I have other teas to drink. And this third infusion is out. I don't even know how long I brew this tea. Some minutes for sure.
Some minutes
in a Kung Fu style. Small clay teapot, about 100 millimeters size of teapot. And the strength show up again in the smell.
Yeah.
On the surface.
That kind of liveliness of the scent. Is in the broth too?
Whew.
Hmm. So you can pull it out, you just have to really push. It's also really strong.
Today I'm in the mood for very strong tea, so I feel like I'm like almost emotionally and mentally I'm like ready to do this. And I'm going to keep the leaves aside because there might be some strength to it still, but I'm going to remove it from the pot and then start a new batch of tea brewing.
Whew. It's like taking a shot of vodka or something.
Without the alcohol.
Yeah.
I feel Mr. Su will be very proud of me.
Don't waste things.
Our Dongding farmer, Mr. Su and Mrs. Su, after they do tea tasting for customers, they said the tea is not all the way finished yet. And so they will collect all the brew leaves and then put it in a bigger pot, I guess, and then they will just keep brewing that tea until it's gone. Because he said you shouldn't waste tea. And sometimes I don't get around to drink that much tea, actually, but I have very deep respect on that concept. Do not waste good tea. So today I'm going to do that on the side. Doesn't mean that I'll get around to it later this afternoon, though.
No. I thought it tasted really good when he put those. He kind of like, I'm not sure if he brewed it cold or if he brewed it hot, but he just kind of mixed a bunch of different tea together and then... After it was already steeped out mostly, and then brewed it, and then put it in these plastic bottles and put it in the refrigerator. Or I don't even know if they have a refrigerator. But they, he just kept it at, like, room temperature cooler.
Yeah, room temperature.
And then I thought that tasted so good, I drank a lot of those. Also because they just gave me so many of them, but I still drank a lot of them. One time I was teaching a class here, kind of like, it was for a marketing team, like a whole office of people that work together. And they came in and they had a lot of questions. They were interested in the tea, but I think the thing they were interested in the most was the wastewater with all the tea leaves inside. They wanted to figure out a way to repackage it and make money off of it. I thought about them when Mr. Su was kind of repackaging his old tea leaves.
But he was not thinking about...
He's not thinking about money. He's thinking about not wasting.
He was thinking about we shouldn't be wasting the tea.
He definitely didn't make money because he gave me like 5 bottles for free. Yeah, they should meet Mr. Su.
Yeah. Well, we are warming up the new batch of tea in a pot. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit. I will not say, for me, life in that house and on that mountain, it's very pleasant. But it's wonderful to be there because it keeps reminding. I will always remind myself when I'm there, and even after I get out of there, is how much we really have. And how wasteful. You know, I was sometimes going, I don't like to eat that. Oh, there's nothing to eat today. Things doesn't taste good. I want to eat that, you know. And then while we were there, even if, you know, if we were there 3 days with them or 2 days, whatever, however many days, they are so generous to cook food. And you will see when we don't finish a dish, they will repeat. They will bring out the dish again, not to torture us by any means. They will heat it up. There was no microwave, by the way, so they would just heat it up in the pan and then bring it out on the table because their belief is one shall not waste food, or food shall not be wasted. And so, you know, nothing is wasted there. They just eat it up. Tea, they just drink it up.
And it sounds like, oh, that's just leftovers. But once you go there, it feels a lot different than just, oh, that's just, they're eating their leftovers. Because, I mean, a lot of people eat their leftovers, but they they really...
Eat the leftovers.
Yeah, every little tiny bit, you know, which
until it's all gone.
Which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that I would do differently next time I go is bring my own towel. So I can maybe take a shower, because white people get stinky pretty fast.
Don't say that.
Well, I get stinky pretty fast. Within 2 days of not showering, I need a shower. I don't want to offend people on Dongding.
Okay. I have nothing else to say.
Everything else... No problem. Maybe I won't tell him that I like pickled plums as much. Because I think I ate 7 or 8 pickled plums in one breakfast because I said that I really like them. But that I can learn as I go.
So it's great to go out of my comfort zone and to see there's also other ways to live. And doesn't mean, by all means, okay, it doesn't mean I want to go back to those kind of condition at all. You know what? I don't like it as much. But I think it's a wonderful reminder of how lucky we are, how much we have. Comfortable bed, great clean places, you know, etc., etc. Money to travel, you know, etc., etc. And but that is also a way to live. So when we don't have as much, then it's also, in the way, not as, I guess, not as wasteful, not as greedy. I'm not saying about you guys out there. I'm actually talking about myself. Because I can totally see what happened. Because I came out of a very poor family. And things were very limited when I was a child. But I never remember, you know, to ever, especially with food, I never actually remember I was thinking about I wanted this and I wanted that very often. Overall, eating was really fun as long as there's food. And you know, I went to school and have a taste of what I guess a more comfortable life is about. I'm not saying that I'm super wealthy right now, but for sure, way more comfortable than where I came from. Things are really, really limited. And now there's more food, there are choices. Like, oh, I don't like that restaurant, I want to go to the other one. Oh, this restaurant sucks. You know, like that kind of stuff. And just to, you know, it's a wonderful reminder to myself that right now I am actually, I would say more, can I say that in public? I'm more bitchy.
Mm.
Can I say that in public?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
You can say kind of what you want.
Okay.
It's okay. Your podcast.
I don't know. I guess I'm more critical about what I have right now. Before was like, whatever I have, wow. It's this bowl of rice to eat, plus a piece of meat and two vegetables. So happy. And it reminded me of this past August. I actually went to China to study Tai Chi Chuan. And the village that we stayed, the lifestyle was very simple. And I went through that again. Is to eat very, very limited and simple food in that village. And then I watched how we were not used to it and suffer from it. And then I watched the cook. I don't think she wanted to torture us to cook food that way. This is exactly how she eat at home. And I will sometimes bring my the bowl I finish and back into the kitchen for her to wash. And she will be eating at the corner, eating the food that she cooked for us. And it looked for me that she is seriously enjoying that bowl of food. And we were sitting there. I was sitting normally at the table. It's like, can I put some, like, do they have soy sauce here to put into their food at all? You know, like, or can I add some spices, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so sometimes being simple, I guess the happiness is, I guess by comparison, it's actually quite a lot. And when we have more, the happiness by comparison is normally is we want more. Okay, I don't mean to turn this into a lecture today, okay? I'm more talking about myself. So we brew the first infusion of this exact the same roasted, heavily roasted alisan from our teacher, Mr. Zhang. Store in a bag. First infusion, I also push for it, brew it for very long. It's a dark tea, but there's a little bit, a touch more high notes compared to the tea that is stored in a canister.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm not saying this is a light tea, the light high mountain style of oolongs that have light notes only. Within the heavy notes, there is a little bit of high notes.
But it feels notes. Like having that kind of lightness in there balances out the broth of the tea a little bit more.
Ooh.
How's it?
Really good.
Mmm. Yeah, it's more complete. I think we need to put it back in the bag.
So, this tea, I don't know how to say it. It has... In a bag, it has more completion. It reaches into the body faster.
It reaches into the body, but the
energy
feeling,
expansion feels faster and there's more.
Also more whole, right?
And so as I say, unfortunately, we only have like close to a kilo of this tea, and so we don't have the luxury to store half of it away for, like, let's say 10 years, 15 years in a canister and to see how it changed. I for sure will finish that before then. In a way, I'm not sure if ultimately that's the best thing to do, but in these next few years, I think in a canister, it might lose too much energy.
Yeah.
Before everything redeveloped back into an even more wholesome tea than in a bag. I think that will be my prediction. And then I guess we'll have to do this to the other teas with maybe the larger volume that we have. If the next few years we can find a tea similar to this and then get a higher volume, and if there's a higher volume to be bought.
Yeah.
What happened to this tea is when we show up, he only have like 1.5 kilo left, and we bought it all, and then we share a little bit at a live session, I think, and then I stopped selling this tea after that. But I'll say, you know, be brave with your teas, try it in different tea brewing style, store in a different, you know, be adventurous, and you know what, if that so-called I fail in this experimentation, so what, try it again. Because there's a failure, there's a gain, actually, because you will want to try other ways too, you know. So hashtag no fear. I love saying that.
I know you have to say that.
When people ask me about tea brewing, I always tell them hashtag no fear. Brew your tea. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. The tea will know if you are afraid.
And seriously, the broth as it enters the body feels more round. It's like the broth of the one in the canister feels just has sharper angles on the sides, and it's not as comfortable as it goes in.
And this second infusion compared to the second infusion in a different storage method, I feel the broth is more lively also. So far for two infusions, I personally prefer the one that is stored in the bag. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the broth stay very rich. And this is what I think in the beginning I was so obsessed with this tea, is how this tea has a movement almost like tree roots in my mouth. It was phenomenal experience. I think the tree roots movement disappeared after a year, which I'm a little bit disappointed. But the richness is there, and the physical feeling is really good right now. And since I push out, I push both of our tea brewing very much. Actually, so I actually bring out a lot of bitterness of the teas from both teas, but I feel like the first tea, when the tea was bitter, the bitterness was more like in a pointy way too, in a location, one specific location on the back of my tongue, feels pretty sharp from the bitterness. And this one, I brew it for so long, there is, of course, I bring out a lot of bitterness from the tea, but it spread out way more. It's almost part of the tea. It exists in all parts of the tea broth from the bitterness. I actually quite enjoy that sensation. It feels more balanced, actually. And I know that a lot of people, when they drink tea, they don't like bitterness at all. And I understand that. Why do you want a bitter cup of tea? Why? If you can avoid it. But sometimes when bitterness, when bitterness show up in your cup, don't run away. Don't run away. Actually, I will invite you to sit and watch and feel what kind of bitterness this cup of tea is. Is it like that kind of is so bad it just stay, or does it go away pretty fast? How fast? In 10 seconds or in 2 minutes, etc., etc. While the bitterness show up in your cup of tea, is the broth still really solid, or is the broth feel one-sided and really broken? You know, before you run away, watch it. And I think this way, you can actually slowly maybe have a let's say have a chance to taste that tea, a tea that might be bitter and yet very good, you know, rather than when one avoid it, then one will not brew it out. And so sometimes the tea brewing become always on the lighter side. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you enjoy the tea, it's good. Tea is for enjoyment, I think. But I think sometimes I feel that tea has much more to give. So if there's a other side of tea that they want to show us something, for example, on the richness of the broth, on the dimension of the broth, that I wonder sometimes a light brewing, can we really bring that out?
It's like in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
If the whole story was just in Hobbiton and Frodo never had to go anywhere and Gandalf never came to tell him he has this ring, and he has to go and bring it to Mordor and destroy it in the fires of Mount Doom, there wouldn't be a story. Right? If he didn't have this really difficult task, then there wouldn't be all this amazing things that happened in between. I mean, Hobbiton is very cool. Like the first few chapters of Lord of the Rings is like, not my favorite part, but pretty awesome. But once they start on the quest, that's when it kind of becomes interesting, right? So in a way, tea is similar. Like to just have tea that's nice and pleasant the whole time is really nice.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. And it's nice to have something like that. Especially it's nice to have your Hobbiton to go back to, right? Everything's nice all the time. Like maybe there's like a grumpy guy that is like chases you off his farm, but he's not going to do anything bad, right? But to have a tea that really challenges you, that's when you can learn something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's when you can learn something about yourself and learn something about nature.
Wow, it's really deep.
For all the nerds out there.
Maybe I should read that book again.
Yeah, you seriously should. It's such a good book.
Third infusion, very rich. Feel the whole mouth. Feel more complete. The breath, the physical sensation, the way it moves into the body. I do overall like this tea store just 1 year long in a bag rather than a canister. So we should remove the rest of the tea from the canister into a bag again. And to let them grow in the bag.
Because tea's alive.
Tea's alive. Let them grow.
No problem. Especially a tea this strong. It's not afraid.
Yeah. So have fun with your tea. Try it out different ways. If you consider some of the try-ins are a failure, then sure, learn from it or let it go. Either way, it's all good. And I think that's it. Before I rant too much about my past life and my books and and hashtag no fear, etc., etc., thank you for listening. And thank you for your support to continue to listen and to invite your friends and family to listen to our podcast and to shop on our website, floatingleaf.com. We'll see you next Monday.
Next Monday.
Thank you. Happy tea drinking.
Bye-bye.
Bye.